It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
The university, undoubtedly the one place where the free exchange of ideas meets with intellectual vigor and civility.
You are disgusting! Slap your racist mama!
The university is ours. Expect resistance to anyone who opposes us.
There will be resistance, and it will not be peaceful.
Free speech is free on campuses unless you're hearing ideas you don't like.
Resistance to violent hate speech is not another act of hate. It is an act of love.
Free speech was never meant to protect love speech. That's not the point.
Humans don't really like freedom of speech. They definitely like their own freedom of speech. They don't necessarily like your freedom of speech that much.
It is ideological fascism. You must be one of us or you're unwelcome.
Whether you're left or right, if you're honest, the First Amendment is under assault today.
Did we need $600,000 of security to hear all of that?
The universities are so overwhelmed by this that I can't see how they can extract themselves from it.
We should probably pick cabins to do these speeches versus college campuses. We should go speak at the Unabomber Shack.
This becomes tyrannical, man. You can't even make a joke without worrying about being crucified.
Isn't it spooky that we're having this discussion?
I want every student on campus to be physically safe. But if you mean emotionally safe, I don't know why you're in college.
If you want to feel good, get a massage.
It's oppressor versus oppressed, and you're a hero if you're on the side of the oppressed.
Do not choose the side of the oppressor!
You cannot be happy if you think yourself a victim.
We don't agree with Mr. Prager's views at all.
Sandy Rios with you. That is a trailer from a brand new movie called No Safe Spaces that's just coming out. It was premiered at the Values Voter Summit. And I have in front of me the person whose brain this all spun. Adam Carolla is the other voice you heard on that. And Dennis Prager, who you know well. Radio host, best-selling author, and I think many of us would just say sage. That's what Dennis Prager is. He's a sage. Dennis, thanks for joining us.
Great to be with you, Sandy. Thank you.
All right. There's a lot to say about this new movie.
Yes.
But if you were to try to sell it to my audience, why would they want to see this?
Well, there's the ideological and then there is the cinematic. The cinematic reason is it's a great movie. Now, of course, people will say, well, anybody in a movie is going to say it's a great movie. Not so. It could be a good movie, and I would still tell people to see it because it's so important that people be aware of the first time in American history that free speech is under assault. So that I would still say see it, but it happens to be a great movie, and I don't take credit for it. I did not make the movie. I'm in the movie, and I always make that distinction. The people who made the movie did a magnificent job. I've seen it 4 times, and I will see it a 5th, and I will still find it riveting. You will laugh, you will cry, and you will hopefully then be aware of the true nature of the assault on free speech for, as I said earlier, the first time in American history.
Let me just, in the interest of disclosure here, Mark Joseph has been my guest talking about your movie before, several months ago when you were still kind of on the first parts of it. And I'm really intrigued by it, Dennis, because I think what we're seeing is, I saw just a video a few days ago in Georgetown, on the campus of Georgetown,
where tradition
and family property guys were just making a stand for life, and they had these signs about the sanctity of life, and it started with one student, a girl, who was just out of control, you could tell that she's personally wounded. Maybe she's had an abortion, I don't know. But she then just started getting more and more out of control. And then thousands of hundreds at least of students gathered. They started spitting, twerking.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
That's correct.
This is a serious problem.
Right. It so transcends abortion. It doesn't matter.
The movie does.
Jordan Peterson. No, not the movie. The issue.
Yeah.
The issue of free speech, you don't have to speak on abortion to be shut down.
No.
Most of the speech, the vast majority who came to campuses were not speaking on abortion. Abortion clearly will trigger hate, but you don't need to speak on abortion. There are atheists. Heather McDonald is at least agnostic, maybe atheist. I don't know, but she's an awesome human being, an awesome conservative. She is shut down. Jordan Peterson, I don't recall if he's ever spoken on abortion. So it's if you don't agree with the left, you are, here is this, we got a picture, we have a picture of an internal memo in Google stating in an email that Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, and PragerU are Nazis. Nazis. Jordan Peterson is one of the kindest human beings God has ever put on earth. Ben Shapiro is an Orthodox Jew, and I'm a practicing Jew, and we're called Nazis.
Yeah.
You don't. We are living in the age of the big lie that transcends anything that Orwell anticipated.
No, I think you're right. I just had a listener email a couple of days ago, and even in her church, she told me in her Sunday school class. She said something came up, maybe probably not in the middle of the discussion, and she indicated her support for President Trump, and someone in her class started shouting at her and talking over her, wouldn't even let her make her points, just got louder and louder. This is in church.
Totally understandable. Unfortunately, I have one of my ways of understanding life is the following, and people need to understand it. Anything... And I mean, anything the left touches, it ruins, including Christianity, including my religion, Judaism. So if they have ruined race relations, they have ruined male-female relations, they have ruined the arts, they have ruined music, they have ruined the universities, they have ruined pro football, they have ruined late-night TV.
NBA basketball.
Anything, yep. Mm-hmm. Anything. Mm-hmm. So... It's a force of chaos.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're screaming. There's no coherence to the. If there were coherence, they wouldn't scream.
It's true. And they could listen and they could reason.
I'm telling you, people, so your listeners there's a combination of moral duty and incredible entertainment. See No Safe Spaces when it comes out.
Yeah, and when is it coming out?
Well, it's coming out in Phoenix on October 24, 25, 26.
Okay.
So if people could get tickets, everyone listening should go to nosafespaces.com.
Okay, nosafespaces.com. And we'll put that on our Facebook page, and
we'll talk about it more when it gets up.
Dennis, excuse me, of all the things, you've done so many things, and I'm going to give you a proper introduction, but I want to tell you something funny. My husband was an FBI agent in Los Angeles at one point in his career before I ever met him, and he used to listen to you all the time. And then, of course, he moved to Washington, D.C. and met me, and we got married. But I think you prepped him for me, so I appreciate that.
Well, I did. A lot of guys get married because of me. It's very funny. I'm not saying your husband did. I think just meeting you was enough. But I do make the case, and this is an example of what the left does. The left has truly... downgraded marriage.
Yeah.
And the number of lonely people, this is an epidemic in America, lonely people.
I just heard a radical feminist, not Gloria Steinem, but one of the big, she wrote a book that was kind of pivotal in the feminist movement. Mallory Millett is her sister. Kate Millett.
Uh-huh.
I heard Mallory speak a couple of weeks ago, Dennis, and she talked about the inside story of growing up with her sister and some of the things they did. And some of the things they said and how they hated, men hated the family. But even some of the dark innards of how they would celebrate holidays. She talked about a meal where she went to her sister's house and there was, this is bizarre. There was like a bowl of water and a knife And there was a naked woman at the end of the table with a snake wrapped around her. And she said that was the beginning. And then she said at the time she was very involved with the feminist movement and her sister, but she actually fled. She and her friend just got out of there. They don't know what they did after that. But my point is that they want to completely destroy the family. They hate the family.
Well, and they hate, as much as said that. And even that is part of, it took me a lifetime. I studied communism at Columbia. That was my graduate work.
Now, wait a second.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just have to stop you.
Sure.
Because Columbia was like the epicenter
of
communism. Were you a communist when you went?
Oh, no, not at all. I was an anti-communist. I mean, I'm anti-evil. Yeah. If you're anti-evil, if you hate evil, then you hate communism and you hate Nazism equally. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it works. They're slaughterers of human beings. Mm-hmm. And I just...
Why did you go to Columbia?
The Russian Institute invited me to be what they call the fellow. I got a scholarship to go. But in any event, that was my field of study. And I'm only pointing this out. I have studied it all of my life. And it took me all of my life to understand. This is in reaction to your comment about anti-family. They are a force of chaos. The only way to understand the left is to understand that it promotes chaos. And in religious terms, and I'd like your listeners to know, I have my Bible commentaries, the best-selling Bible commentary in America for now for 2 years. It's called The Rational Bible. The first two volumes are out, Genesis and Exodus. And I know biblical Hebrew somewhat like English, so I've been equipped my whole life to teach this. And I realized something in doing Genesis. God made order. Mm-hmm. The left makes disorder.
It's absolutely true. It's absolutely, and just that whole narrative in Genesis 1 about bringing order out of the chaos,
is,
out of the darkness.
That is exact. The second
and the
verse
thing,
is chaos.
And you know, when you think about it, also there's that whole thing of male-female, which is the thing
that's the center of attack right now.
That's
the giveaway.
Yeah.
God's distinction, God created the human being, male and female, he created them. Zachar u'nekeva bara otam. That's the only distinction. God, it never says God made black and white, never said that God made African and Asian. There is no distinction that matters to God that is intrinsic to the human being other than male and female.
Now that's interesting. I hadn't thought of that, but you're so right. And I have heard, though, and we both know it's true, that the left even if they don't know it, even if they don't realize what they're doing, Dennis, it is an attack against the very foundations of God himself.
Yes, it is. And that's why they hate religious people.
And also making people the same, genderless. That is so opposite
right.
of God's plan.
That is exactly right. Distinctions. They hate all distinctions. They hate that. People ask me, because I have 20,000 words on the Ten Commandments in my Rational Bible Exodus volume. And people ask me all the time, well, so what do you think is the most important of the Ten Commandments? And
They asked Jesus that too.
And he said, love God and love your neighbor. Right. Okay. But obviously, those are not in the Ten Commandments, but he's obviously right. That is the essence of everything. But of the Ten Commandments, I now argue, honor your father and mother. Because yes, it is interesting, because then you accept the fact that there is hierarchy in life. Mm-hmm. If your parents, see, what the left wants to do is make parents and children equal. Mm-hmm. They want to make teachers and students mm-hmm. equal. They want to make the police and the citizens equal. They want to make God and man equal. They want to make man and animal equal. Hierarchy is essential to order.
And you learn it in the family. It comes in the family.
Yes.
So we see this, do we not? Do we not see it in Living Color, where kids are so disrespectful because their parents allow them to be, and then they can't respect anyone
else? They're peers. Why not?
Dennis, we have to take a break. But when we come back, I do want to give you a proper introduction. I still haven't done that.
That's all right.
I also want to talk about that you wrote this great article of all the things you've written in Daily Signal about the message to America's children from the left. And I think you have some really fascinating points, as usual. So stay with me.
Right.
My guest is Dennis Prager, and we are coming to you. This noisy place is the Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. So stay tuned. Sandy Rios, in the morning, AFR Talk.
Z- Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
The real question is, how long before they come for your job and for my job? I mean, for anyone who speaks for a living.
They want to close us down. PragerU had 1 billion views last year. This impact has apparently disturbed some of the folks at YouTube, which is owned by Google. Believe it or not, over 100 PragerU University videos are on the restricted list, meaning that in effect they are lumped with violence and pornography as unwatchable by children, libraries, and schools. So, for example, Churchill, the man who saved the free world. Oh my God, everybody understands why that'll be on the restricted list. Or how Lincoln changed the world in 2 minutes. The Iran nuclear deal. Are you kidding? That's the modern Debbie Does Dallas. It shows you how convoluted their moral compass is, that this would disturb them. It's beyond irony. It's parody. It has entered the realm of parody.
That's the voice of Dennis Prager, Sandy Rios with you, coming to you from Values Voter Summit. And, of course, we've talked a great deal, shall I say, about the censorship of YouTube, of Google, of social media. In fact, we just interviewed Zach Voorhees, who was the whistleblower from YouTube and from Google just last week. But Dennis is sitting right here across from me. Dennis, one of your, I think, greatest achievements right now is the Prager University. You have produced what? How many videos that are? It's like a 5 minute.
Yeah, 400.
400 videos on things like socialism versus capitalism. Just basic things where you're training people on the basics. And most of your viewers, in fact, I understand 60% are under 35 mm-hmm. years old.
Of the billion views a year, yep.
Yeah, even my son. My son is in Scotland, and he knows about your videos, which I thought was very cool.
Yeah.
So you've run at odds now with Google and YouTube, because YouTube is owned by Google. And you explained it just then in that clip, but I don't know if you, I couldn't quite hear. Did you in that clip talk about the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, five of the Ten Commandments are on the restricted. It began with, I testified in the U.S. Senate this summer. Senator Cruz asked one of the Google heads who was there, why is Mr. Prager's video on the Ten Commandments on the restricted list so kids can't see it if there are filters in the house? So he said, well, because it mentions murder. And I thought that I had entered the Twilight Zone. They don't want children to see a video that says, do not murder. God said, do not murder, because it uses the word murder. So as I said to Senator Cruz, I said, all right, we'll re-release it with the Nine Commandments.
It's like that Mel Brooks of the 15 commandments. Remember that?
That's right. History of the world. Got them down to 10.
Got them down to 10.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. And I think, I don't know if you have talked to Zach Voorhees. He is that whistleblower that came out with James O'Keefe, and he came out with his voice altered and his face covered, and now he's actually revealing who he is. And he was working on YouTube, and he talked about, you know, he has found 900 pages, literally, he's copied them from Google's inside workings about their intention. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, they always give us this song and dance about, oh, no, we don't, no, we're not, it's not intentional, it's mm-hmm. just because of this word or that. And right. So did you feel like that hearing was effective?
Oh, in the sense that many people have seen, I've seen it on the internet. People should watch it. But that was why it was effective. I think it affected, which is what counts, the senators who were there, to hear the nonsense of why Google/YouTube censors our videos.
You know, the other thing that occurs to me, because it's in the news right now, is the other component of this, and I don't think this is part of your testimony, but you know about it, that Google, of course, was going to work with the American military to develop a Google Earth on steroids, so the American military could map the world, really, in order to keep us safe. But the Google employees were stirred up, according to Zach, so that they complained about it, and Google severed their relationship, but then entered into a relationship with the Chinese military, which kind of now intersects with this whole story about the NBA and this whole thing about our American citizens actually undermining their own country's safety and value by kowtowing to the Chinese. I thought about that from you, Dennis.
Well, it all makes sense. If it's good, the left generally wants it destroyed. You mentioned the family, certainly the nuclear family. They consider that a patriarchal, sexist, misogynist institution. The United States is a slave-based, racist-oriented, imperialist, colonialist country. If Israel is despicable, if it's decent, it's again. And I always make the distinction between left and liberal. Liberals are honorable. Leftists are dishonorable. Google is run Silicon Valley by leftists. It's a very big deal. It's a civil war in the United States. Thank God, not violent. But it is a civil war. And no safe spaces will have people go, wow, now I get it.
The movie.
The movie, yes.
Dennis, I've asked this of several people, but I want to ask you. I'm assuming that you support President Trump, that you voted for him, and you speak in support of him. Okay, but you are certainly an intellectual. That's your niche. You're known as that, and you don't speak the way he speaks.
Correct.
Many intellectuals are so repelled by his style.
Last night
was a good example
Minneapolis.
How do you excuse yourself or make your case to your intellectual friends about your support of him?
Right. Because humans are a package. I don't like that part of his package. When he said last night that Joe Biden kissed President Obama's rear.
Yeah.
And he didn't use the word rear. Okay, I don't like it. I'm opposed to it. I care about America more than I care about the form of speech the president uses. If you care about America, the left will destroy it. You are a fool if you do not understand that. And unfortunately, this is another huge lesson in life. Good intentions mean nothing. Wisdom is 100%. Good intentions is 0%. Very few people have bad intentions. It's a tiny, tiny segment of humanity. And all of these people who vote left in this country are voting for the end of everything we cherish, from free speech to male-female distinction, to the centrality of the family, etc. People need to understand that. That Google would sever relations with the U.S. military, that's despicable. The greatest force for peace on earth is the U.S. military. The U.S. military should get the Nobel Peace Prize every year.
Yeah, well, so then we know we have the NBA doing the same thing, partnering with it. It's just, it is the world turned upside down, and the problem, Dennis, I know this sounds so elementary, and yet it is complex. We're dealing with a whole generation, and their parents, I think, who are just clueless. They are moralless. They don't understand their foundations. Do you think it's possible to reverse that in our country at this point?
Yes, I do think it's possible to reverse it. That's why we're putting out No Safe Spaces. That's why Prager University exists, and it's a big deal. Look, a billion views is not something to sneeze at. Most of them are young people.
What's the response to Prager U? I mean, what kind of responses are you getting?
Well, you have no idea. I mean, and it's all over the world. I'm only self-conscious because it's my, it's Prager U and I'm Prager, so...
Don't be self-conscious.
Look, it's having an enormous impact, not a big enough impact, but huge, which is why they go after us. And we put out these wonderful 5-minute videos every week. I'm telling you, if anyone listening, if their kid watched our 400 videos, and did not go to college... Unless, of course, they need to be a doctor or an architect, they have to study STEM, science, technology, whatever the rest.
Engineering, math.
Engineering and math. Yeah. So then, obviously, you got to go to college. But otherwise, Bill Bennett's son said he learned more at PragerU than at Princeton. And that's correct. If you think wisdom is important, and that's infinitely more important than anything, then you would have your kid, or you would watch Prager University videos.
Well, that's really, that's something. I know they're powerful. Every time I watch them, they're very powerful.
Yes.
And 5 minutes to do what you do.
Minutes.
You know, I always say, when I used to do commentaries, trying to distill something to 60 seconds was a challenge, but you're distilling like a college course
that's
or a lecture in 5 minutes.
We're sort of good at that.
Yes, you are. How about Facebook? Does Facebook censor your videos?
It's interesting. I do a fireside chat, which averages about 700,000 views every week. Also, mostly young people, and that's at PragerU or on YouTube. And we promote it through Facebook, so they stopped allowing us to promote it because the first 20 or so episodes smoked a cigar. So as I said, had I smoked marijuana,
it would have
been
all right.
Fine. Yeah,
exactly.
Yes.
Well, you'll just have to get that down, that part down. I promised that I would talk about this, and let's do before we go. The Daily Signal, you have an article recently. The left to America's children, your past is terrible, and your future is terrible. You know, that's not an overstatement, but let's just make your case. You have like a few points here. Can you just say a word about this? You say the left robs children of their innocence and has helped produce an unprecedented number of anxious and depressed young people. We can see that on the television.
Yes, but of course it's true. Well, first of all, one of the joys of life is knowing you're a girl or knowing you're a boy, having this tension with the opposite sex. Gee, what are they like? And it is just one of the most wonderful aspects of the human condition, the male female distinction, which you gradually understand as you grow up. And they are depriving kids of this. Oh, you'll decide if you're a boy. You'll decide. Teachers all over the country do not call their kids boys and girls anymore. They call them students. No, this is vile. This is vile. This is the New York Times featured article on drag presentations in libraries to five-year-olds, guys coming in female clothing and entertaining them. I'm telling you, the left is the largest form of child abuse that we have in the contemporary world.
I agree with you. And, you know, there's some interesting, I'm sure you know, lots of kids who have been persuaded that they are another gender are coming out now to speak about the damage to them.
Oh, right. But the press doesn't cover that.
No, the press doesn't cover it. No, like they don't cover
X-gays. They are the lying press.
No, they are.
They are.
All right, you talked already about how the left has devalued marriage. And I remember when we were talking about marriage between men and women becoming legal, that was an argument that we used to try to make. But it was hard to make it. How has the left devalued marriage from your point of view?
Well, the first thing has nothing to do with gays. Since feminism arose, it has told young women, a woman without a man is like a fish without a bicycle. You don't need a man, which is one of the greatest lies in history. Women need men as badly as men need women. Number two, they told them your joy in life will emanate from career, not a husband and children. And so now women with great careers at 50 are lonely.
The way that we saw gay marriage devaluing marriage is that it was like a counterfeit of the real thing.
And well, I don't think gay marriage devalued marriage. I think that I'm opposed to it. I think marriage should be between a man and a woman, and I still am, and I was then. I testified in Congress in that regard. That did not devalue marriage. That devalued gender distinction.
Well, it did that too.
Because it said gender doesn't matter, and I predicted, and I was unfortunately right. Once you say gender doesn't matter, you have destroyed the male-female difference.
Yep.
The argument for gay marriage was not against marriage. It was against distinction as being significant.
Right. You know what? I don't want to get stuck on that because I want to talk about the next one. You say the left has devalued having children. And yes, we see that happening. But you've written a little bit more detail about that. Yeah, people don't want kids anymore.
That's right. Well, they're a nuisance.
Or the children are born out of wedlock.
They're too expensive. Well, that's another one. You don't need a man, right?
Right, right. And then the left is ruining the childhood of many children by depriving them of the joys and excitement of growing into men and women. You've touched on that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm thinking, Dennis, when I was growing up, and I've seen it in my granddaughter, too. Little girls like to think about weddings.
Exactly.
They love to think. You don't have to teach them that.
No.
They want to be a princess
and
wear a gown.
You have to teach them not to think about
exactly.
It, which is what is being done.
Exactly. And in that regard, you're absolutely right. We're robbing them of that natural joy. And then this, how could we, again, these are not subtle. We're seeing this in the headlines. Look at Ocasio-Cortez and this constant preaching that we're going to be dying, we're going to have to learn to eat human flesh because we're running out of time. And so you say, the left has convinced innumerable young Americans that their past is terrible and their future is terrible.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Well, they're rewriting our history so that they have nothing but shame for their history.
One of my books is on happiness, and I have a belief that happiness is a moral virtue, not an emotional state. And that's another war the left has waged. They're not happy. There are happy and unhappy liberals, happy and unhappy conservatives, but all leftists are unhappy.
It's the truth. They're angry and just disturbed.
That they are.
Yeah, and they don't want you to be happy.
That's correct.
You know, Dennis, of all the things that you've done, you've written so many books. You've written this commentary. The last volume is just out. What's the name of it again?
The Rational Bible.
The Rational Bible. Prager University, you have the radio show for Salem. Of all the things that you've done and appear, oh, we're running out of time. I hear the music. What's the most challenging of those things I just listed? Most challenging for you?
I guess is making the Bible relevant so that people will understand it is the greatest book ever written.
Are you getting play in Jewish communities with your commentaries?
It's as I said, it's the best-selling Bible commentary in America. Rabbis are using it, but priests and ministers, I tell clergy, read it. And I'll give you your money back if you don't get 50 sermons.
Okay, right. Dennis, it's so nice to talk to you face-to-face. And No Safe Spaces is
That's
coming
the key,
out.
The
and
film.
So,
Please
yeah,
see it, folks.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to go. Dennis, thanks a lot. Sandy Rios in the Morning.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
Sandy Rios back with you. Of course, as I've said many times, one of my favorite things is in interviewing people live and in person. When I first started doing radio in Chicago, I would not interview anyone over the phone. That's the truth. We had everyone in studio. So it's much more fun to see them eye to eye. And I was happy to run across Don Fetter, who's been a friend of mine for so many years, Don.
That's right.
Don was, for a number of years, a writer for the Boston Herald. And that uncommon breed who was very conservative in his instincts and wrote conservatively and still is conservative and writes brilliantly about a number of things. We're going to get into them. Demographic winter was one thing he spoke about a lot, and that's the last time I think I've talked to you, Don. But you were telling me as we were chatting a few minutes ago that you were very skeptical about voting for President Trump. Yeah.
Well, I was skeptical about the outcome. I had to vote for Trump because there was no alternative. Because he was running against Hillary, and I think most of us had a good idea of what her regime, I don't say administration, what her regime would have been like.
Right.
When he was the nominee, I had to vote for him. I think a lot of people in the movement that I talked to feel the same way. We didn't expect a lot. But the president has far exceeded our expectations in so many areas. He has been a great pro-life president, better even than Ronald Reagan.
I know, isn't that something?
It's amazing. On the courts, judicial nominations.
Don, do you remember during the debates that moment with Hillary Clinton where I can't repeat it, but he was so graphic and so impassioned about the life of an unborn baby.
Yes, that's right.
No candidate, like you said, Ronald Reagan, has ever done anything like that.
Yeah, and the things he's done for religious liberty. There's a great picture I saw recently. I don't know where it took place. I think in one of his rallies. And there is a black woman, an African-American woman, elderly, praying with him. And she has her hand on his arm. He has this look on his face. You can't fake something like that.
No.
You can tell that, you know, that his prayer was heartfelt.
Could I give another example of that
Certainly.
Before you finish
yes,
your
sure,
point?
Sure.
Same thing happened last week. There was a young Somalian girl, an orphan, who's now an American. And it was, I think, the young black conservatives meeting in the White House. And she spontaneously asked if she could pray for him. Beautiful prayer. She said, Lord, I'm not very good at this. I mean, she was just so humble, nothing written, scripted. And then there's a photo of him embracing her with the most tender look on his face. It was just really a moment. So,
The courts. He's appointed two Supreme Court justices. By the time he finishes his second term, and I'm convinced he will have a second term, he will have appointed half of the Supreme Court. You know, and most of us think of that because, you know, that's the top tier. But the appellate court judges, the district court judges, he is changing the entire face of the judiciary. Now, the president will be there for 4 years or 8 years. A federal judge will be there for 20 years, 30 years. So this is, and, you know, the left has controlled this for so long.
He's even already flipped the Ninth Circuit Court, which is the, what, they call it the Ninth Circus? That's what they always called it, because almost every decision they made was reversed by the Supreme Court because they were so liberal.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Northwest, San Francisco.
Isn't that unbelievable?
Yeah, it is unbelievable. So, Don, you were like a kind of a, you weren't fond of him. And you know, some people that we know were not fond of him. In fact, they still aren't fond of him, and they consider themselves, they are appalled that people like you and I would continue to support him. Do you, have you got people like that in your life, and what do you say to them?
Well, open your eyes. Yeah. You know, you may not look like the president's personality. He may be too rough for you. He may be too boisterous. You know, he may be too tough in his attacks. But, you know, all right, it would be nice to have someone with Ronald Reagan's eloquence, with his personality. But what's more important, eloquence, personality, charisma, or what the man is doing?
Yes, well, that's what you sound like. You sound like Sandy Rios. I say that all the time. Don't look at what a man says, look at what he does.
Exactly.
Yeah, or even how he says it. What is he doing? So let's talk, let's at least touch on, you know, in the rally in Minneapolis, the president was pretty bold about his statements about immigration. And Minneapolis has a very complex situation, whole Somali community out of which many terrorists have come. Terrorists would-be's. Ilhan Omar is not, I'm not putting her in that same category, although some might say she certainly supports some who are involved in terrorism. So the president was pretty pointed in his remarks to Minneapolis about how you should have a right to say who comes into your a community. Minneapolis has been transformed. So have other communities. And I remember, Don, you wrote about this before this really ever was happening, at least to this degree.
Yeah, the Democratic Party, but more generally the left, is changing the demographics of America through immigration. They're bringing in people that they can control. Sometimes they're bad people, like the gang members, MS-13. Sometimes they're jihadists. But more often than not, they're just people who are ill-educated and oftentimes illiterate, people that they can control. So they're, you know, why when Cruz ran for re-election, the race shouldn't have been that close. Now, a lot of it had to do with Hollywood money coming in, but a lot of it was also the fact that the demography of Texas is changing. They're trying to flip it from a red state to a blue state, and a lot of that's immigration. Look, if people want to come here legally, that's great. My grandparents, all four of them, were immigrants.
From where?
My father's family from Austria, which was then the Austro-Hungarian Empire. That's how long ago it was. My mother's family from what was called the Pale of Settlement in Russia. It's an area that Jews were forced to live in Russia. It was kind of a ghetto. But they were, they came here, and they were so grateful to be here, to be Americans. You know, it wasn't like, okay, I'm here, now change for me.
Yeah.
You know, adopt my language.
Yeah, or don't hurt my feelings.
That's
with
right.
With your opposing views.
Yeah. It was, I want to become like you. I want to be an American. My grandfather, my mother's father, may rest in peace, refused to speak Yiddish at home because he insisted that his children speak English.
Different kind of immigrant.
Very, very different.
So
kind of.
As you look at the lay of the land, you know, we know that the Obama administration purposely chose red areas of the country settle lots of immigrants from other countries, other lands that and they have changed, like small towns, as I understand it, certainly in the Northeast, have experienced, and in Ohio and Idaho have changed complete transformations.
It didn't, well, as you point out, Sandy, it didn't happen randomly. This was all planned. It was part of a master plan to take over red areas of a country, to turn them blue, you know, and I mean, look, if they ever take over Congress completely, both houses, and the presidency, we will never get back into power.
Yeah, I absolutely think you're right. Don, we could talk a lot about that, but I want to pivot to the Ruth Institute, because you're representing them now. You were with World Congress of Families before that, and you and I talked briefly about the State Department initiative to kind of reestablish the importance of families. Could you say something about that?
Yeah, sure. Well, the Ruth Institute works to counteract the sexual revolution. In particular, it works with victims of the sexual revolution, people who've been victimized, children of divorce, children who grew up with gay parents, for instance, you know, the children of abortion. But now we're promoting a petition. It's called a petition to make the family great again. And specifically, it's a petition, and we have almost 8,000 signers so far.
Wow. Can people sign this?
Oh, yeah. They can sign it online. This is co-sponsored with Life Petitions. So you can go to the site, lifepetitions.com, and search for Make the Family Great Again. It's a petition to the State Department Commission, as it's called, on unalienable rights. This is a commission that Secretary of State Pompeo inaugurated to advise the State Department on how to improve their operations overseas, how to make human rights the focus of what we're doing overseas. And we're saying, great, make human rights the focus, but the focus of human rights should be the family. The reason this is such a wonderful opportunity, Sandy, is the head of the commission is a Harvard Law professor, Mary Ann Glennon, who is a pro-life writer and philosopher. She's been a pro-life activist going back decades. She's the head of the commission. So we have a real opportunity to make an impact here.
You know, I have to say that one of the things that President Trump has done, and there's such a long list, I can't possibly spell it all out, but he wrote an executive order that every agency should start looking into their policies as they intersect religious freedom, and it looks sounds like family too. And the State Department has never, as far as I know, weighed in on issues like this. So this is pretty stunning.
It is. It is. And it's a real opportunity. And, you know, for instance, the petition talks about the right of every child to have a relationship with his or her natural mother and father, the right of every person to know the identity of his or her biological parents, the right to life from conception to natural death, the right of families to educate our children in their own faith traditions without their values being undermined by the state. Those are some of the provisions. It's been signed by people like Governor Huckabee, Brent Bazell, Media Research Center, Pat Fagan, you know, some wonderful people who've been in the trenches fighting for the right to life and families for decades.
But so I think the encouraging thing to me, Don, is that the tentacles of good things are really broad and deep. You know, but people may not know about all of them, but some really fine things are taking place.
Absolutely.
Because there are, in spite of the, I constantly or often complain about the people around the president. It seems to be getting better, but the people that are really not serving him, who do not hold his values, having had their way in the early parts of his administration, I see that kind of changing.
It is.
And shifting.
It is changing, and, you know, it means everything to have a friend like Trump in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, he may get bad advice at times, he may slip up, but his heart is in the right place. And unlike a lot of Republican presidents, he wants to do the right thing, and he will, despite the criticism, despite the obstacles.
Look at Syria. Yes, he does what he thinks is right.
Exactly.
You know? And he often is right. I think he is absolutely fearless, and you have to say he does know how to make a decision, even a very tough one. And I think, you know, I don't know if you would agree with me, Don. His roughness embarrasses me sometimes. He says a lot of brash things that I cringe. But
he wouldn't be who he is if it weren't for that.
And we are in a fight for the future and the life of this republic. If
Absolutely.
We have a champion in the ring, we don't want him to go, oh, excuse me, oh, I'm sorry, oh, I didn't mean that, or I'm not sure how I feel about hitting you. You know, really, we need somebody that can fight.
Absolutely.
I think conservatives kind of lost that ability.
Well, we did, unfortunately, because there hasn't been a Republican like that since Ronald Reagan. You know, someone who's, you know, who said, look, this is what I believe.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, I'm not going to apologize. You know, we can talk about it, but, you know, my position is on a firm foundation. I'm not going to shift with the political winds. And, you know, Trump is even more of that type of a stalwart than Reagan was.
Yeah, yeah, he is. It's amazing to me. Now, some people will say that he is not a social conservative, but it seems to me his actions argue with that, because we know he's not doing this just to please people. He doesn't operate that way. Don, it's great to see you. And let's just say that, again, people can get this, can sign on this petition at what website?
LifeSite Petitions.
LifeSite Petitions.
And the petition is called the Petition to Make the Family Great Again.
All right. I'm in favor of that. I think most people are listening to us.
I'm sure.
Don Feder, thank you for your faithful service to this country. It's great to see you again.
Sandy, it's wonderful to see you.
Sandy Rios, in the morning on AFR Talk.